We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So I bleached my entire bathroom.
That's not where I also thought that thought was going.
I bleached my entire asshole. I knew you'd want to go in there. I wanted to clean it up for you.
Welcome to the Holy Hour. I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
I don't know why I can't look at you. But we've been doing this for a year and a half, and every time you
I
count.
I always think I'm like going to forget my name. There was a stretch where we just never got it right for like...
I know.
40 episodes.
Yeah.
So many episodes.
I don't know why it's the most difficult, because it's the only part that is not off the cuff.
Yeah.
And it's the most difficult part.
Yeah.
That sounded like, we never know what we're going to talk about. We just kind of always surprised about. That's the only structured part, and it is always the most difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Hate it.
Besides reading an email. And even then, sometimes we're not great at that.
True. But you guys love us anyway. At the top of the episode, I want to plug our socials because I forgot to last week.
Oh, you did?
I was listening to the episode. I'm like, how could I have forgotten?
Oh.
So we're doing it at the top. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, at The Holy Hour. Email us at holyhourpodcast@gmail.com. Send us your spicy emails. We've been getting some super spicy emails. Oh, Gatsby hates this part. He just left us. He's like, I'm so sick of hearing your handles. But yeah, we love hearing from y'all. We recently got a feature on, what's that? Rank the Podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Rank the Podcast, or is it Rank the Pods?
I think it's Rank the Pods. Like, I think that's their handle.
Right.
But yeah.
But we got a little feature, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
I feel like we've gotten a lot of new friends on social media since then. So.
Yeah. And a lot of enemies.
On TikTok.
Specifically. So obviously the people listening to this podcast are not these people. Not, like, the things we post on TikTok are bits of the episodes,
right?
So I'm not surprised if people aren't like going to our TikTok to watch the videos of the podcast they already listened to. That's fine.
It's for acquisition.
But there is a certain brand of man who will find us, and they'll be like, they're this kind of guy who's like, oh, this is a sex podcast, because the interesting thing about sex is I like sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And me, a man, I want to tell you about how I like sex. And then they get mad when we're talking about our hairy buttholes.
Yeah, they're like, wax it.
They're like, this is so gross.
And then there's also guys that are like, oh, do you call this comedy? It's like, yeah. I'm sorry, you have a bad sense of humor.
Tell me buttholes aren't funny. They're hilarious. That's coming from me, the ass shaman.
My God. Yeah. You're going to tell the ass shaman that buttholes aren't funny?
Well, and then when they're just like taking time to like be a dick in the comments, I'm just like, oh my God, you're like so interesting. How can I impress you? I don't like, what do you think is going to happen? I'm going to be like, oh my God, do you live nearby? Let me suck your dick.
Right. Yeah. What are they trying to get from?
Yeah. Well, because and then I'm just like the opposite kind of person. Like, I'm not going to engage with a video that I think is dumb. I'm going to hit the like not interested. I am on TikTok to only see things that I like. I'm not. It's like Pinterest to me. I only want to see things I like.
You're right.
I'm not gonna engage with something I don't want to see.
That's the thing, is like they're commenting on these things being like, I hate this. And it's like the algorithm doesn't know when you type I hate this, they just know that you engaged with it.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. Now you're gonna get a bunch more of these videos.
Well, so I've been blocking them because I like people who leave rude comments, just because I'm wondering if there's an opposite end of the algorithm for creators of like, oh, they keep blocking this kind of person.
Oh,
maybe I'll stop serving. But TikTok doesn't give a shit about creators, so I don't really know.
Loud preach. That's so fucking true. But they really don't.
Yeah, I mean, I just like, and maybe I don't even really think it's petty that I'm blocking these people. It's just like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't want to hear you fucking talking.
Right.
Or read your dumb comment that is misspelled.
I think that this shit has started to get to me more recently because my personal TikTok has so much hate on it right now because I'm just getting more followers. So there's like more hate that's coming along with it. And it's just, it's not even like the hate is bothering me. It's just the same exact comments over and over, the same stupid comments. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up. It's just annoying. I'm like, you're taking the time to be a dick. It's sad. I'm like, I'm sad for you that your life is so sad that you have to make other people sad.
I wonder if it's like when like your cat, like if a cat like starts clawing your furniture, they know you're going to chase after it.
Yeah.
So they're like, they just want attention.
Uh-huh.
They don't care how they get it.
Uh-huh.
Because that's literally what Gatsby does. Look at him. He has a sweet face, but he comes around and he claws all my shit.
Fucking
so
Meow started clawing the back of the couch whenever she's trying to cover up her shit in the litter box. She like covers up like the ground around it too, and then she like covers up the couch too. I'm like, ma'am, that's not
she's a little blind. Her eyesight's going, but at least she's
bless
polite
her heart. That's true, she is polite.
She's like, I don't know if it got up here. I'm sorry.
But anyway, yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I know misery loves company and there are a lot of really sad people out there, but it's just like, shut up.
Well, I also asked Mr. Liz like what it, like we should do. Mm. I was like, what would you do?
Yeah.
And then he was like, I just would ignore them. And I was like, that's probably the best thing. But sometimes I can't help myself. Like, yeah, like the guy who's like, sigh, this is such stupid
God.
Yeah, just like, this is so ignorant. God, like, and I was like, oh my God, you're like so cool.
Right.
Will you please tell me about Dune and NFTs?
Oh my God.
And people got so mad. I brought Dune into the, I was like, it's not even about Dune. It's about people like you who won't stop talking about Dune.
I could not believe it's a great movie.
But shut the fuck up. They're like, hey, you don't need to bring Dune into this. I'm like, have you seen the 80s version? It's awful. Oh, another white boy to save the day. Speaking of white boys, Timothy Chalamet. God.
Yeah.
His sister.
Oh, no.
Pauline Chalamet. Ooh, is in The Sex Lives of College Girls.
Oh, shit. She's an actress, too?
Yeah. And she has, she's so cute.
What she looks like. Does she look like him?
Their faces look alike.
Pauline Chalamet.
And if anyone's looking for a binge-worthy series, Sex Life of College Girls is one of the like best shows I've seen in a long time.
Aww,
and it's just like a really good watch. It's funny. It's sweet. It has like some really important moments. There's a lot going on. And the underlying message is men ain't shit. No, I'm kidding. But there's a lot of terrible men in that show.
What time does it take place? Is it like
now?
Modern day?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm looking forward to starting it. I am almost done with you. I have six more episodes.
Are you in? So you're in season three.
Mm-hmm. I just started season three.
What do you think of Love?
She's nuts.
But like, don't you kind of love her?
I don't know. I haven't decided.
I love
you. Know what's really interesting? Also, skip the next 2 minutes if you haven't watched it yet. Truly, if you haven't watched it yet, don't spoil it for yourself. I'm so happy that I didn't because I'm like really along for the ride. I fucking love it. So skip the next 2 minutes. It's really interesting how they're writing it where Joe is like, she's a killer. How am I supposed to love a killer? And it's like, Joe, look in the mirror, my guy. So it's like, it's interesting because I see myself being like, yeah, she's nuts, Joe, get away. But then I'm
Joe,
like,
Joe, you're attracted to someone who represents the qualities that you don't like about yourself because you want the approval to love those things about yourself, but mm-hmm. you shouldn't because you're a murderer.
Yeah. I was, oh my God. I watched an interview with Penn Badgley last night when he was on Colbert like a year ago and, or 2 years ago. And he was saying, he had a good point, and I hadn't really thought about it in this way of how, because like there are so many women in his DMs being like, I really want to, like, I want to date Joe, like, da da da. Yeah. And he's like, it's interesting from the standpoint of like, people are so willing to forgive a white man for doing all of these awful things, and that's his privilege, where people wouldn't be so quick to forgive anybody else, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to hear him say that and like recognize
that.
Yeah, as
the actor playing that character.
Yeah, which is, I don't know. I fucking, he's amazing. Also, his wife's name is Domino. Have you seen her?
Domino?
I've never seen anybody with the name Domino.
I like that kind of.
I know, me
too. I don't know why.
They just had a baby together last year. Anyway, I've gone down a whole Penn Badgley rabbit hole.
Penn Badgley sounds like a cartoon character.
That's true. They both have strange names. Domino and Penn.
Huh. So I have a question for you that I keep forgetting to ask because I want to talk about it every week. Hold on. Let me pull it up so I don't phrase it incorrectly. So this question has been kind of like going around TikTok, and I've been seeing different people answering it. Mm. And someone actually tagged us in it to like talk about it.
Okay.
So the question is, what's something a man has done for you that made you realize you were accepting and expecting way too little from men?
Oh shit, that's a really good question. That's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go first while I'm thinking about it?
I have been thinking about it a lot too, because it's really easy to get stuck on like all of the things someone did that you hated that made you feel terrible. Mm. But the things I can think of that Mr. Liz does, just from like day one of like meeting him, he's always been so considerate of mm-hmm. everything. When we first started dating, and he came over to my apartment, I was like, we were looking at like the plants I did have because I only had a few. And then I was telling him that I wanted more plants. And then like our next date, he brought me this big leafy plant and it was so cute. I remember like freaking out. I was like, oh my God, I like this guy so much. And he like got me a gift. That's never happened.
Oh.
I don't know. Oh. Like it was just like a small and thoughtful gift. Like who doesn't love a plant?
Yeah. And it's really the little things. Somebody yeah. remembering something you've said goes such a long way.
Mm-hmm. And then he remembers all kinds of things about me. We recreated. So our third date, we went to Portland together. And we were like, let's go back like and take the train, because I had taken the train to go meet up with him. And he's like, let's both take the train and kind of like recreate this date that we had a year ago. So when we went to Portland, he made me a Liz box and he put all kinds of things he thought I would like in it, and like wrote me a sweet card and some of the things that were in the box. So I love Adventure Time, and he got me that BMO plant holder.
Yes, I was about to
so
say.
Cute. So cute. And I was like, how is this made? So it's 3D printed. And he found it on Etsy. And then he got me a special candle that has my little, like, pet name on it. And it's based off of my astrology placements. And then he also got me this box that sits on my kitchen table. It's called a love box. And because words of affirmation is my love language. And, like, some mornings, like, a few mornings each week, he'll send me a little message. Mm-hmm, to my box, and it'll like hit, one of his favorite formats is doing a poem. It'll be like roses are red, violets are blue, and then he'll make up like some other two sentences that rhyme, and they usually say something silly. So he does all these just like small things. Oh, and then like if I'm cooking, he always helps. Like, he doesn't have to, but I also don't have to cook for him. But he always helps me cook in the kitchen.
I love that.
Yeah. And I also realize, like, in my past relationships, I haven't wanted to, like, I haven't cared nearly as much as I care in this relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I never made meals for any other person I've dated.
Yeah.
And they also weren't appreciative. They didn't help me clean up. I don't know. He just, like, will do small, like, if he knows I'm overwhelmed, he'll do, like, really small things to just make my day easier.
Just, like, common courtesy stuff that, like, we're not used to.
Yeah, just the whole, thoughtful things.
The whole point of the question is, like, what have we been accepting for way too long?
Well, so, comparatively, the guy that I forget I dated, I remember... So, like, he has a car, and he doesn't use it super often, but it's, like, parked in his lot. And we didn't live too far from each other, but there was one day where, like, it was dumping rain, and it was windy, and all the buses were delayed. And I was, like, I could have walked back, but just since it was so cold and rainy and I was, like, wearing a dress, I was just, like, complaining that the weather sucked. And then he was like, oh, that sucks. Let me know when you get home. And I like brought that up and I was like, you live like 5 minutes away from the light rail. You could have just like picked me up and dropped me off. And then he was like, I hadn't even thought of that. And I was like, it's not that you didn't do it. It's just that you didn't think of
that's, it. Yeah. Yeah.
And then when I was moving, he was like, cause I met him when I lived in my really old small apartment. And then like the very first one, they both were small.
But you're like
the shoebox one. Yeah. what are those called? Micro studios. I was living in a micro studio.
It's fucking ridiculous.
So when I moved from that to my other studio, the first one we started recording in, he was like, okay, well, like, good luck moving. Like, didn't volunteer to help me move. Like, didn't even offer his car.
Some people are just so deep in, like, their own world. They they aren't capable of, like, considering other people.
And that's, like, the bare minimum.
Yeah.
And then when I, like, listed these things for him, he seemed, like, shocked.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, I'll, like, try a lot harder. But by that point, I was like, this is what I, like, need and want in a relationship. And I just, like, don't think you can do those things. And I was like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, maybe the right person for you has different needs. Maybe the right person for you doesn't need what I need.
Yeah.
And like you can meet those needs.
Totally.
And I just don't know what they are. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's a good way to think about it because it's like everybody does have different needs. Like some that might not be important to some people, but if it's important to you, then like, and it's truly not a lot to ask.
Yeah.
You shouldn't accept less.
And it's also like, these aren't demands, you know?
No.
Like, the things that Mr. Liz and I do for each other are entirely voluntary.
Yeah.
We do them because we know it'll make the other person happy. Mm-hmm. And that's such a good feeling. Like, I don't do anything for him because I feel obligated to.
Yeah.
Everything I do is because I want to. Mm-hmm. And I know he feels the same way because, like, if I want him to do something and he says he doesn't want to do it, like, I'm not going to keep bothering him. I'm not going to pester him. I respect his boundaries. And there's a huge difference between, like, someone not wanting to do something that, like, makes them uncomfortable versus, like, not wanting to do something because they don't care.
Yes.
Like, I kept bothering him. I'm here, like, tickling my mouth. I kept bothering him to come to my gym with me because I'll get 10% off if he comes once a month. Now I'm bothering Amelia about
it. Doing it.
But because my trainer was like, yeah, if you start bringing him, because he came to one class on my birthday, and it was arguably the hardest class I've ever been to. But he was like, I'm not doing that, Liz. And I was like, fine. But I was like, please, I'll save money. And he was like, I'm not. I don't want to do that.
And when you like, texted me and was like, you were like, I'll get 10% off if you come. I'm like, I'll just honestly, my first thought was,
you
like, I'll just pay
you off.
You can
go to a yoga class with me.
Okay, I'll go to a yoga class with you. I do want to meet your instructor.
Yeah. There's a couple I'm friends with. Sometimes.
Hey.
Yeah, sometimes he listens and we were on his Spotify Wrapped.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And he likes to bring it up at the end of class and everyone looks at me like I'm a celebrity. Like, who is she? So I love that he brings it up.
Oh my God, fuck yes. Oh, I'm a big fan of his. He's also nice to look at. So I'll come to a yoga class. Does he teach the yoga classes?
No.
God damn it. Does he only teach like the HIIT classes?
Yes.
I guess I'm never going to meet you, but thank you for listening.
He teaches the hard classes. That's why I like going. He's the first instructor I ever had there. But to pass the question back off to you.
I mean, hearing you talk was like really helpful. Yeah, I mean, like, I toward the end of my relationship with my ex, like, he was doing everything that I would want somebody to do, which was really, really difficult to leave because it was like I finally got to a point with him where I was like, we were like in a stride and like he knew what I needed. And like before I got on anti-anxiety medication, I had like a very specific set of needs. Like I couldn't be in restaurants without having a panic attack. And like there was shit that like he had like worked out of like doing to manage my needs. And I was doing the same for him. So when I entered the dating world, nobody knew that shit about me. And so that was a big thing. But then also just like the basic human decency shit went out the door. Like the first guy that I went on a date with out of my relationship didn't clean his room before I came over.
Oh, yeah. You've mentioned that a couple times.
And I was like, how fucking difficult is it? Just clean your fucking room. All 8 years I was with my ex, also, he would clean his room before I came over.
If you like plan, like, you're planning to go to his place.
All right, I was staying the night there, and we
the
had
first
talked
time
about
Mr.
It.
Liz came over, I didn't know we were gonna go back. Go
that's
back to
different.
My place.
If it's planned, it's
if
like,
I planned it, it would be
spotless. Right. I'm like, you are in the impressing stage right now. Put in a little bit of effort. So like, I feel like the shit that I was just accepting was like a function of just dating casually for so long. And so I started dating more intentionally. Like a few people that I've dated intentionally have been, Moscow is one of them, honestly. And like, obviously Squints, the King Squints, they have like people like that have done things that Magic Man, another one too, like remembering things that I said and like putting forward like some sort of effort into like, like remembering the little shit. I've said this 100 times, but like remembering little shit goes such a long way. And the first thing that came to mind was when I got a promotion at work, and it was right after my first date with Squints, and he remembered that I ordered a dirty martini at the bar. And so our second date was, I went over to the house that he was house sitting, and he got Grey Goose and like dirty martini stuff, and he was like, we're gonna celebrate, I got dirty martini stuff. And it was like, I wanted to sob. I was like, somebody remember something I said, you know?
Especially after just like a first date or something.
Yeah, it was just a second
or
date,
or just so early on.
It was so early on. And like he just like, and he wasn't doing it to be like, look what I did, you know? He was just like, you ordered this and so I thought you would like it. And that same night, or maybe it was the next night, he
that's such a good point too, like doing something because you want to be rewarded for it versus doing something just because you know it's going to make that person happy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That was like, I think
it wasn't performative.
Toward the end of my relationship with my ex, like he was really kind of trying to salvage the relationship, like when I was needing a break. So whenever he would do anything kind, he would like really like rub it in my face. And now I'm realizing
that's a way to make someone appreciate it.
It was awful. But now that I'm like the tables kind of turned, and then I was so desperately trying to get him back, I was rubbing shit in his face. So I'm like, I get when you're like in a moment of desperation, it's like,
that's fair.
Ah! But it was still annoying.
I just get combative when I'm in a moment of desperation. I'm it's like kind of the same. Well, there's no turning back. I'm gonna make you feel bad.
Yeah,
I have receipts about all the shitty things you did.
Yeah, you should we run through them one by one? No, I it's now whenever anybody does anything and they don't want to wave it in my face, I'm like, oh my God. Like Moscow, when he we were supposed to go out Tuesday, and then I had to move it to Thursday, and he had to drive up an hour and a half to see me, and I didn't realize. I thought he was already going to be in Seattle. And he wasn't like, oh yeah, like I guess, but like I'm gonna have to drive up, you know. I didn't know that he had driven up until I was with him, because he didn't want to like make it a big deal that he put in this effort.
Yeah,
it's shit like that. It's like whenever anybody does anything kind and they don't want to rub it in my face, I realize how often people do, and like that should not be the case. Which was actually, I wanted to talk to you, and I want to read it word for word because this like leads into what I wanted to talk to you about.
Is it on airplane mode?
Yeah.
Okay.
I learned from you know my me. Mistakes. I read this thing that said, it's a tweet. the person is at Blood Slush with two H's at the end of slush.
Love that.
Yes, toxic and abusive relationships are hard, but you know what else is hard? Your first healthy relationship after a toxic one.
Oh, I think I liked that one too.
Amazing. No one talks about how hard it is to unlearn all the toxic behaviors you adopted as a coping mechanism to convince yourself that you're safe now, which is so fucking true. And I'm realizing this through therapy, how...
gonna start having a nosebleed.
I know. I sent this to Katie last night and I was like, whoa, because I'm in this right now where like I'm realizing that I'm starting to get deeper feelings for people that I'm dating outside of just like, yeah, like fucking, because I've had this like spiky exterior for so long because it's so much easier to not care. And I've always known that. Like, it's never been like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. And it's just like, that's just how I am. I've always known it's like, I don't give a fuck because it's safer to not give a fuck. But now I'm at a point where it's like, I've healed a lot of like the past trauma that I've been through. And like, I'm starting to notice myself getting more invested in people. But it's so much easier to not get emotionally involved because I don't want to go through the shit that I went through before. Like, I have like, actual, and I'm not saying this lately, like I feel like I have like PTSD from my last relationship.
I also think that you have been meeting your own needs, so then
yeah,
not as like a coping mechanism or anything, you've been meeting your own needs, and it's very hard to like let someone into a vulnerable place,
yeah,
because you're trusting them to meet your needs. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, there's like the opportunity for them to break your trust.
Yeah.
So if you don't give them that opportunity, they're never going to break your trust because you never gave them the chance in the first place.
Damn. Based. That's so true. No, that's a really good point. It's like when you love someone, you hand over all, not all, but a lot of like your control over your emotion. Yeah. And I don't like that because I, with my ex, literally like every ounce of my emotion was dedicated to caring about that, and I never want to get back to that place, and I know I won't because I've been through that, so I know that I can get back from it. That was so like unprecedented in my life that like I didn't know how to work through it. Now I do, and that's great. Everything's a lesson or a blessing. But like whenever I start to feel myself, specifically right now it's Squints, I mean he knows, I don't need to be secretive about it, like I'm worried about getting more. Liz, sorry, is looking I'm at the camera. He's such a gem, and he's given me no reason to feel concerned about like allowing myself to like feel deeper about him. But like I've started to notice that I'm like doing these behaviors now where like there are traits that I didn't like about myself with my ex that I'm starting to notice me doing with Squints, like asking questions to like get more answers about like, how was your night last night? Did you know anyone there? Yeah. You know, like stuff like that. And it's like, Amelia, like, shut the fuck up. It's like, you're fine. And it's like, it's coming from a different place. It's more, it's coming from like a habitual space now rather than like a caring space.
You're doing it to, you're also doing it to protect yourself.
Yeah. And I don't want
my therapist and I talk about that a lot where I'm like, I don't know why I do shit like this. And she's like, you're doing it to
protect yourself.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
The things that I've been doing that I don't do them anymore, not even nearly as much as I used to, but the things that I mentioned them I think last episode of just like I would like look at like other people's profiles that Mr. Liz used to date and be like, meh, what are they,
yeah, meh. yeah totally. Yeah, there was a girl that Squints's friends were trying to set him up with before we started dating,
and you're like, who the fuck,
she's so hot, like,
but also you're so hot.
Thank you. I love you.
You're like, I know.
I love you so much.
Thank you.
But she's like banging bod. Like, she's just like really pretty and like good friends with like all of his friends. And that's an insecurity I've always had. I had that with my ex. Like, somebody that's like already in the group, like super cool. Everybody like already approves.
I'm like, if they're like a type of girl that has been like mean to you in the past too.
Yeah. True.
That's
so fucking,
or like
true.
Somehow like represents like that? A type of person who's been mean to you.
Yes,
yeah.
totally. But like, it's I'm realizing that I'm doing this kind of just like habitual shit that like I'm not actively like I care about this, because like I trust him. Whenever I like, he'll say something sometimes that are like, didn't I tell you this? And I'm like, no, it's your other hoe. And he's like, he's always like, I can only manage one woman at a time. Like, but it's like, I don't actually care. You know what I mean? It's like a joke. It's very clearly a joke. But then I notice myself doing some sort of like,
it's a joke. And then you're like,
but actually, why did you think you told me that? You didn't tell me that.
You're like,
who are you talking about?
Maybe.
Yeah.
No. But hold on.
Now that we're on the topic. Hold on. Can we like, can we run the tape back?
It's a joke. Unless. Yeah, no, exactly. No.
Exactly.
But maybe.
But like, this kind of goes back to your question that you asked. Because last night, I was telling you this in the kitchen and then I stopped myself. I was sleuthing through Squince's Spotify to try to find gift ideas for Christmas. And
Spotify sleuthing is,
yeah,
that's some other level shit.
It really is.
I've been there.
But like, he is so, music is so important to him, and like, he communicates a lot of how he's feeling through music. And he, like, I think his major specifically was in poetry. He's an English major, but I'm pretty sure it was specifically in poetry. And I so love
that.
yeah and so he's like, very, words are big for him. So I was looking through his Spotify being like, what does he listen to, what can I do with this? And I saw three playlists. One was Wendy Peppercorn, because of Squints. So he named that for me. And that was one that he sent to me when we first started dating.
That's really cute.
I know. And so I knew about that one. But then there was one called Bobelia, which is something he calls me. And then Shmelio is another one that he calls me. There are three playlists that he had made. And he had only sent me one. And I was like,
what if he just listens to them by himself? That's so sweet. You know, when you're just like, daydreaming and you're like
yeah, but I saw them and I was like, oh my god. And then I was thinking, like, when I've liked people in the past and there have been things like that I've like found or stumbled across, I'm like, oh, they do like me. But it was the first time that I've stumbled across that and been like, oh. And I know that he does, you know what I mean? It's like, I didn't need that confirmation, but it felt good in a different way.
It's nice to know that someone is like thinking about you.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time explaining that feeling. Like, you already trust them and you like them, and like, you don't need additional affirmation. So it's just like so delightful when you like stumble across something where you're like, oh my god, they're thinking about me when I'm not around.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I struggled with this a lot when I started dating Mr. Liz, of like, I was like, if he's not around me, he has object permanence and he like forgets I exist.
Remember you saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's like a baby or something. Like, yeah, if she's not here, she's gone forever.
Yeah.
And that's not what's going
on. That's not the case. No. Yeah. Right.
That's definitely not the case.
And it feels so good to have somebody just do something nice because they want to and not because they feel like they need to.
I always think, like, I know that some people are like, oh, they're just like, people just show like the best signs of their relationship. But like, sincerely, if someone stole my phone and read the conversations between me and Mr. Liz, they would murder us both, because they're just like, I love you so much. No, I love you so much. Oh. What do you want for dinner?
You guys are in such a like a perfect, like, you guys are in the best phase of your relationship. I think everything from here on out is the best phase, because it's like you have the honeymoon phase and then you have the rocky phase after the honeymoon phase, and then once you get through that, it's like the fun shit. And I feel like you guys are in that right now. You know each other really well.
I don't know, low-key I think if we moved in together it would be a little rocky, because we both are like,
well, I think that's for anybody, you know,
especially like me. I've been living alone since I was like 23. So I'm like, no one touch my shit.
I think just like any, getting used to like any sort of change, moving in together, marriage, like sharing finances, kids, those are like things that like make relationships rocky. But I think like the getting to know each other shit and like knowing how each other operates, knowing like what makes each other happy, like this is the phase that's a lot
of fun. Also, we talk about things so realistically that like, nothing is ever going to come as a surprise to one of us.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, I don't know, like we're just really like honest with each other, but in a way that's really respectful.
Yeah.
Like neither of us wants to hurt the other person's feelings.
Yeah.
Damn. After all of that serious conversation.
We have to read that email that you told me not to read.
We have a buck wild email.
I'm so excited. Liz texted
it
me.
It is like, upsetting.
Promise me you will not read the email we just got. And I
because
haven't.
I had to stop in the middle and like scream.
Oh my because God.
Because I was just like upset at what I was
I'm
seeing.
So excited. Okay, pull it up.
So this is from a listener, obviously.
Oh my God, I'm so nervous.
It says crowdsourced information info requested on Pimp My Pussy episode, i.e. Borkum. Hi, angels. First of all, thank you for your hilarious, raw, candid content and for making me feel like I'm hanging out with my best friends whenever I open Spotify. Because of the holy hour, I know I'm never alone during this shitstorm of a year I've been having, or that humanity as a whole has been having.
Word.
That is valuable beyond words. You are cherished. When listening to the Pimp My Pussy episode on my walk the other day, you requested info on why men want to come more. Not as in have more orgasms, but just increase the volume or power of their loads. At least how that's how I interpreted it. Yes, yep, you're correct. It inspired me to share this cringe story about my ex who probably doesn't even know how to listen to a podcast, let alone be dignified enough to find the holy hour. So I feel very confident that I can share the nickname he wears with pride and how he got it.
Oh my God.
About 3 months into dating him, you know, the 3 month mark, totally drunk on dopamine and convinced they're the one.
Word.
He shares that his ex that he referred to a few times, let's call her the cousin, because that's what she was.
No, shut the fuck up.
His first cousin.
No.
As in his dad's brother's daughter, whom he did family camping trips with as a kid. They'd lost touch over their teen years, but when he got a job in the town she lived in, he reached out for help finding a place to rent, and she offered to spare him a room. He told me that within a week of living together, they couldn't resist the sexual attention and started sleeping together constantly.
What the fuck?
Which turned into a very intense, passionate love affair.
Oh my God.
They enjoyed fucking each other so much that she'd even come to his job site on his lunch break, and they'd take a quad up into the bushes and squeeze in a bang.
That is the most Southern America thing I've ever heard.
One time they were doing so, and he blew his load in the snow next to them. Immediately after, he heard a cheering from the bushes, and he looked up to see his coworkers, who were all on the hill he was facing during ejaculation, and witnessed how incredibly large his load was. This was how he earned the nickname, Chowder. This nickname filled him with unexplainable amounts of pride.
Why? It shouldn't.
He ensured that the name followed him to every job, telling the story as often as possible, only leaving out the fact that the girl is his first cousin.
Fair.
He has had stickers made. He even incorporated the name into the business he started. I'm upset.
Shut up.
When I asked why he liked the nickname so much, he said something along the lines of thinking that it made him more of a man. Basically, to his thick skull, more cum equals more manliness. Every time he'd finish, he'd get me to look at how much he blew or say stuff like, "Daddy's got a huge load for you, baby."
No!
More cum, more manliness, better at orgasming, etc. He even found out which foods made him have bigger loads. Kimchi-flavored ramen, celery, and pineapple sparkle for taste. All continue to live up to the legend of chowder. Eye roll emoji. To him, if your load doesn't look like a bowl of chowder, you aren't doing it right.
That feels like a medical issue.
If your cum looks like a bowl of chowder, you need to go to a hospital.
What the fuck? How thick is your cum, my dude? That feels like it hurts coming out.
Are you dehydrated?
Drink more water, my guy. It's all from all that ramen. There's a lot of sodium in that.
I'm upset. I hope that story provided you with some clarity about your inquiry about why men want to have more cum. But also, I hope it doesn't, because I hope he doesn't represent a large quantity of people with penises, for reasons including aside from this chowder story. Love you, ladies, and love the pod. Keep up the good work. Splash emoji. When I got to the punchline of chowder, I almost threw my laptop. No, I was
They lost me. They lost me at first cousin. I
was like, first cousin is a fucking plot twist.
Well, there's your cousin and then there's your first cousin. No, Karen, that's not how that works.
And then the fact that he was hitting it raw. He was hitting it raw with his cousin.
No.
The camera just died. I'm glad that we caught all of this on camera too. Up to this point.
Holy fucking shit.
I know. It's upsetting.
There's so many upsetting parts of this story.
There's just, at no point does it get better. No. Like, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and then it ends.
There's just layers. Like, the chowder part would be awful by itself, but the fact that it's his cousin, the fact that he's named a business around it, he's had stickers made, and he has pride in the fact that his thick ass cum was witnessed by his fucking coworkers.
I hate it here. I wonder where the listener is from.
I mean,
insane. In
what is it? What's the state that everyone like says they fuck their cousins?
Alabama.
Okay. Alabama. You have that on lock. You're like, it's Alabama. Holy it's shit. Just,
is it out? I think it's Alabama.
It must be
or
Alabama.
Is it Arkansas?
Arkansas doesn't exist. I'm convinced. I tweeted this and like I almost started a full riot. People are like, I live in Little Rock. I'm like,
dude. You're lying.
Yeah. Fine.
That's fun. That's what they want you to think.
Right.
Yeah. So that is this listener email that I wanted to.
I'm floored.
I wanted to witness someone freaking out as much as I was freaking out when I first read it. It was shocking.
I'm tired. That made me tired to read. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. I
don't eat chowder from anywhere. I hope
Chowder does listen to this podcast. What the fuck is wrong with you, Chowder? What the fuck is wrong with you? You sound like there's a medical emergency at hand here. And I'm
concerned he comes into whatever chowder he's making. Although I hope he's not making any chowder. So to speak.
What if his business is a chowder company?
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. I hope it's not. We're going to top that off with a sex fact of the week.
Sex fact of the week.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know why. I took the reins on that one.
I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
Because I was having a brain fart thinking about chowder. Honestly, that story, we have been receiving some shocking stories and they've been gross and amazing. I kind of love them. This is turning into a horror podcast in a way we wouldn't have predicted.
I'm happy that this is taking on a life of its own, though.
Yeah.
You know?
I hope someone who films movies and writes scripts is listening, and they based...
And the film will be called Chowder.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking maybe they would base it off of multiple stories that we've heard.
Oh, for sure. No, actually, we hear some fucking crazy fucking stories on this podcast. And I'm so grateful that we are the receivers of it. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is from Soatan Live. It's a Canadian website. It's either a Canadian website or a New Zealand website. I'm getting mixed signals. In a bizarre experiment, 266 men were recruited from across the socioeconomic spectrum. They were each then shown pictures of 5 women with varying breast sizes and asked to rate their attractiveness. By a wide margin, poorer men performed the women with comically large breasts, while the rich men were cool with less top-heavy girls. Interestingly, the correlation remained consistent across the scale. The poorest liked the bigger breasts, the middle earners liked middle-sized breasts, and the top earners preferred tiny breasts.
So I'm going to be getting a breast reduction.
Manifesting a rich husband.
I have big boobs. I never wanted them. My back always hurts, especially as I get older.
Wow, but I've heard that happens.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I don't know.
My back hurts because I sleep like this.
I'm sure my back also hurts because I have shitty posture, but I would like to blame it on my big boobs. And also, I think it's so cute when people don't have to wear a bra. I'm like, oh, I want to be that.
I want to be that.
But it's expensive.
Well, so we I'm all gonna see we if don't we can have
get it covered by my insurance.
Look at that. Oh, speaking of covered by insurance, I got my armpit Botox, Liz. I
actually, it was covered by insurance.
Yeah.
If
I'm not bruised anymore.
If insurance companies can cover Botox in your armpits,
they can cover a breast reduction.
Certainly, they can. They're gonna be like, no, but have you ever considered mommy milkies? I'll be like, I haven't thought of that. Yeah. I'm tired of being a big titty goth girl. I want to be a regular size titty goth girl who doesn't have back problems.
I think that this fact is really interesting because the sample size is so small. Like 266 people, it's not a lot of people. I'm like, do they really? This is published somewhere. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, that is not a lot of people.
No.
Also, I wonder where.
Right.
Yeah, so if it was in Canada or New Zealand.
And were we looking at like pay stubs, or were people like maybe lying about their income? We don't know. I need to know the controls of this experiment. Anyway, that's what it said. We're just, don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. I always participate in surveys.
Chatter cum load. Oh yeah, me too.
Just to try and help out.
So that's, you're good for your community, Liz.
Thanks. I like to do my part.
I like to do surveys. Oh my god. All right, well, with that, we have been talking for a really long time. What's the time?
1:24.
Oh, that's kind of standard. Yeah, I'm just tired.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, we love you.
We love you.
Our children. That was pretty good. You harmonized with me. I've been doing a terrible job lately.
I did harmonize with you. Yeah. That's exciting. Wow.
That's a perfect note to end it on, literally.